Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to another week of PGA Tour Golf. We're going to talk about the 3M Open today out in Minnesota. We've got plenty to get to, plenty of statistics to get into. We'll talk about TPC Twin Cities, the field, and all that good stuff. We'll round that off today. If you didn't catch our first show of the week, it's audio only, available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen to commentary about the kind of first clicks about the 3M Open. Talk about Live Golf UK, which is this week. A little bit about the ISPS Handa Women's Scottish Open, which is the LPGA event this week. We didn't get into the Korn Ferry Tour event this week, which is out at Glenview in Illinois, just outside Chicago. The MV5 Invitational, but we will have an episode of the Road to French Lick that comes out this afternoon, which will talk about what's going on in the tour, talk to a couple players. Basically, if you want to just bet on the players who are on our show, you probably have done pretty well this year, because people have been on the Road to French Lick, have won something like 10 or 12 tournaments between the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour this year. So we'll leave it at that. All right, let's get into the 3M Open. 3M Open is an $8.4 million tournament with $1.512 million to the winner, 500 FedEx Cup points to the champion. They're playing it once again at TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota. This was once a PGA Tour Champions event, and then it got bumped up to a PGA Tour event, and it's just kind of been this way for the last 6 years or so. This golf course opened in the year 2000. It is an Arnold Palmer design. It's par 71, plays 7,431 yards. It's a very similar kind of length of golf courses that we've seen in the main events on the PGA Tour the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. Detroit Golf Club is about the same length. We had a very similar length at Royal Port Rush. The John Deere is somewhere in that range. We have a similar length at the CUDA last week. I mean, a lot of similarities in this range. So just kind of assume you're playing at 7,350 to 7,450 these days on the PGA Tour for most weeks. That's pretty fair, pretty standard. So nothing particularly long about this golf course. Again, being an Arnold Palmer course, at this stage of his career, he could do something really spectacular or really bizarre. There wasn't kind of a form to it. Jack Nicklaus, when he designed the vast bulk of his courses in this time frame, was doing kind of crazy stuff that a lot of people, I don't think, liked to be handed with you. I think Arnold Palmer did a lot of his best work later on in his career. Trial Lee is in Ireland is probably the best example of that. I don't know that a lot of people love TPC Twin Cities, and if you are a fan of more of the architectural side of things, particularly online, you're going to hear a lot of people trounce the golf course this week. From a betting perspective, that doesn't really matter, right? But from an analysis perspective, this golf course gives up more, or I guess enforces more penalty strokes because of water than any golf course on the PGA Tour. And I think that even includes TPC Sawgrass. This is a place that gives up, kind of doles out a lot of penalty strokes, particularly off the tee. Water is in play a lot. Water is a delineating factor on a lot of holes. It will limit how far you can hit a tee shot more than sand and grass anywhere else in the course, probably more than any other course of the PGA Tour. So strokes gained off the tee is an important function here, but it's an important function for a different reason than you typically think about on the PGA Tour. Strokes gained off the tee is important because it basically tells you how long you're hitting the ball and how approximately close you are to the fairway to decent lies, good grass, good angles. Here, that is it is relevant, but more importantly, it's how much you stay out of trouble, because the penalty, strokes gained-wise and physically to your scorecard, is significant if you miss quite wide here, and not even that wide in some cases. So you're going to see a lot of players throttling a little bit off the tee. You're not going full bore in every tee shot. Necessarily, you're hitting, you know, 3 woods and 2 irons. Some guys are going to, but you're going to leave approach shots that are in the 150, 160, 170 range. And for the average human being, the average golfer, that seems like a steep length, right? 150 is, for a lot of people, a 7-iron. For these guys, is a wedge. So it doesn't necessarily make it a tougher approach game. The par threes are pretty easy. They're pretty flat, pretty scoreable. The greens are fairly large, so there's plenty of room to hit them. This is a very scoreable golf course, as long as you keep the ball in play, is the bottom line. So let's take a look at the betting odds for the week. You have an interesting kind of layout here. We're going to go over the top 96 players, the 156 in the field. Sam Burns and Matt McNealy are your top of the table. Sam opened the week as the betting favorite. He I think he was on 18-1. I think he's still on 18-1. Mav, I saw closer to 20 or 22, depending on where you look. Yeah, I didn't look everywhere at the start of the week. Got to be honest with you, I was absolutely gassed after the Open. And we had a great week last week. We had Ryan Gerard in one and done for the Barracuda and was a winner there. And then we had Matt Fitzpatrick. We had Russell Henley. We had Harris English. We had Bob McIntyre. Those were good calls last week. So, and we even talked about Wyndham Clark being happy, and he had himself a great week, and we'll talk about him in a second. Mav was third here last year. He had himself a pretty good Open. He's been playing okay. I think this is the critical stretch for him to figure out how he's going to get onto the Ryder Cup team. He's in the top 12 in points, but just barely. It seemed like he was much more of a lock last fall or even into the springtime than he is now. Now you've got a contender in Chris Goddard who might be able to kick you out of there. He's got to put up something this week. Goddard's 25-1. We wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago, right? He wins the Scottish Open, gets him into the Open, gets into basically on the medal stand at Royal Port Rush. Incredible few weeks, doubles his career earnings. He's found something and something to believe in. There's a reason to think that he could play well here once again. Wyndham Clark is 30-1. I have a hard time betting him here. My primary reason for that is he is often very erratic with the driver. I mean, he hits it a long way, but he also hits a big banana cut. And if that cut's not listening, not working, he's going to miss the cut. It is that simple. So I think I find it very hard to bet him, even though things are coming together for him. The statistics seem to suggest he's in better form. Siwoo Kim's 30-1. He was a late add to this field, but I do find him interesting here. Michael Thorbjørnsen has been playing really good golf the last few weeks. Really go back to the Rocket Classic. Again, similar length golf course, got to keep the ball in play. He played well at the ISCO Championship, which was an extremely short course by modern PGA Tour standards, yet held its own against par because the design of the golf course made it longer thanks to forced carries or forced layups. So a lot of those holes out there in Louisville were relatively short by distance, but you couldn't hit it more than 260 or 270 or even 300 in some cases because there was a massive chasm of water in between you and the next shot. And that made scoring more akin to a place like this. So I think there's something to be taken away from that. Taylor Pendrith's here, 30-1. Max Gracerman, I am one this week at 35-1. Had himself a good CUDA. Lost in that 5-hole playoff in Detroit. Similar length, similar style, similar thought of golf course. Has been playing well lately. I'm going to bet him. Batia, Jake Knapp, Kirk Kitayama are the other 35-1s. Some improvement from Batia. I think this is a Jake Knapp kind of course. Keep it in play. He doesn't have to hit it especially hard. He's been playing pretty well. Ricky Fowler's here, 40-1 with Tony Finau, who is the ultimate horse for course this week. He has the best record of anybody playing in this tournament at TPC Twin Cities. There's reason to stick with him here. There's also plenty of reason not to, because he's wearing contraptions on the putting green to practice putting that look like a 25 handicapper would wear. So if there's progress coming from that stuff, and I think we saw some at Port Rush, then maybe there's something to be taken from that. I'm going to lay off here. Davis Thompson, we'll see later in the graphic, playing steady, solid golf of late. He's 45-1 along with Keith Mitchell, who is a relative horse for course here, does seem to like the place. Sungjae Im had a good finish to the Open. Just, I wish he won more. I mean, I really am a fan of Sungjae, but he's really hard to bet. Emiliano Grillo, 51-1 feels like a better play. He likes the golf course, has a couple of very strong finishes here. He's played pretty well in the recent past. He is enigmatic in that you don't know what you're going to get from 1 week to the next. He will never be on the graphic that we do later of relatively low variance players and high quality strokes gained tee to green. Just not going to happen. That's not who he is. But that's why you're getting these odds. Adam Scott at 55-1 is mildly interesting. I thought Christian Bezuidenhout having a really good start to the Open Championship makes him somewhat compelling here. Cam Champ, a former winner here, course specialist, really playing pretty okay, 55-1, I think is worth a look. Luke Clanton at 60-1 is not worth a look to me quite yet. He I feel like the same thing when Michael Thorbjørnsen went through when he first started. Like he had a great first couple of weeks, and then kind of the realities of being a professional golfer set in, travel, the grind that you know, you have to make money this way. This is your livelihood now. The fun kind of gets sucked out of it for a little while, I think, if you're coming out of college. And for Luke Clanton, I think he's in that part of it. Can he go find kind of a college-style fun for this week and just go bang it around and be better than everybody else? Yeah, sure. He could probably win. He's plenty long enough, and he's got plenty of game for that. But I just don't think he's there at this moment. Want to get in the model top 10. We'll go through that real quick, and then we'll come back to the rest of the field. Max Gracerman is number one this week, which really surprised me, got to be honest with you. I thought he'd be in the top six, seven, not one. Sam Burns, Taylor Pendrith, Adam Scott, Matt McNeely are your top five. Then Kurt Kitayama. Andrew Putnam was a surprise. He's been playing well lately and has a good course record here. That buoys him quite a bit. Keith Mitchell's eighth. Thorbjørnsen is ninth. And Siwoo Kim is 10th. I mean, a lot of the names we just talked about are right there in front of you. There's a reason. They're the most consistent players. We have 12 top 50 players in this field this week. It's not a deep field. You're going to get like 43, 45 points if you win this week. More importantly, you're playing for the FedEx Cup points or the two-year exemption. But this is not particularly a strong field. That's not to say these guys aren't good players. Just compare this top 10 to last week's top 10 for the Open Championship. You see a radical difference. Let's get into the rest of the top 96 on the odds board. Jesper Svensson had himself a nice trip overseas. Rico Hoey absolutely threw away a chance to win the Barracuda last week. Had a horrible final round. Opened the door for Ryan Gerard, who basically crawled across the finish line, but he opened a big lead. Andrew Putnam just saw in that top 10 on the list, 60-1. Sam Stevens and Jacob Bridgman and Matt Wallace and Patrick Fishburne are your 65s. I think Fishburne is worth a look here. He's played well a couple of times in the last five events. Matt Wallace is interesting, but I think he may be burnt up from playing overseas the last couple of weeks. Otherwise, I probably would bet him. Matty Schmidt, I think some people are going to be on as a value play. I would play him more in DFS or a top 20 play than here. I'd rather go look at two guys that are different in the 70 category, and you've got a lot of them here this week. Erik van Rooyen played his golf collegiately at Minnesota when he won two seasons ago out in Mexico. It was just before the passing of his longtime college friend. He's coming back here. It's got to be a bit emotional for him. He has a news conference start the week, which doesn't typically happen for guys who just went to college in the area. I think he's going to be properly motivated, and he did play well at the Barracuda. Bo Hostler has played very good golf of late. Seems to like the golf course, too. I think he's an interesting play on 70-1, especially when you look at the players who have won here. A lot of them are first-timers or haven't won in a while or those types of guys. Bo Hostler kind of fits that mold. Doug Gim, Alex Noren, Tom Kim, 70-1 will be a pass for me. Vince Whaley, 80-1. Max McGreevy, 80-1. Kevin Roy, 80-1, I think is really interesting. You'll see later on in the graphics that he's playing more consistent golf, not only as a measure of his finishes, but also as his strokes gained tee to green. I think he's an interesting play here. Matt McCarty seems to have played his way back into much better graces than earlier in the year. It seems to kind of not be as much of a grinder. I think he's figured out his comfort level on the PGA Tour. Could be an interesting player here this week. Hao Tong Li has got a chance to play this week because he finished inside the top 10 of the Open Championship. Finds himself in this field this week. It's an opportunity for a guy that plays his golf on the DP World Tour. And I really like Hao Tong Li. I think he can have a lot of fun. I don't think that necessarily translates to anything here this week. Cootie 90-1. A lot of people were on him last week, including myself, at the CUDA. Didn't work out. Why do you think it's going to work out now? It feels like he is at the point where he feels like he's definitely got a PGA Tour card through the Korn Ferry Tour. And he just kind of has to tidy that up at the end. So he's going to keep taking these shots on the PGA Tour. I don't know that's to his benefit, but he can have at it. Hoagie, Ekroat, winners on the PGA Tour, but they're just not playing their best golf right now. Sahith Theegala is 100-1. I don't know where he's at with his shoulder. We don't know if he's going to get in the playoffs or not. We'll see what happens there. Olsson 100-1. Nicholas Norgaard, I think, is kind of interesting at 100-1. Then you start kind of getting to guys like, you know, Mac Hughes, Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk's been playing better golf lately, for sure. Might be worth a look here at 100-1. Don't necessarily love him off the tee, but he does seem to play Sea Island well. I think you could see some comparison between Sea Island and here just because of what's off the tee. Water-wise, kind of that's the defense of the golf course, or one of the golf courses for the RSM. Cam Davis, Mark Hubbard, Eric Cole, William Mal, Takumi Kanaya, Ryuhei Setsun, Hayden Springer made an ace here a couple of years ago. Thomas Rosenmuller might be finally putting it together. Antoine Rosner, Davis Riley, Sam Ryder, and Sammy Vallimaki, Tristan Lawrence are all 125-1. Of any of them, does anyone really stand out to me? No, not in particular. Again, I'm a Vallimaki fan, but nothing happens. William Mal, does he take something from that ISCO comeback win on Sunday? What, he shoots 61 in the final round. Maybe sees a similar look and goes, hey, I know how to play this golf. Maybe that's a top 20 bet. I don't love him otherwise. Hayden Springer, like I mentioned, had a weird two-hole stretch here a couple of years ago. I think he made like a triple, then a hole-in-one on back-to-back holes. Not worth betting to me, but of these, I would probably look at, I guess, Rosenmuller to a degree, but I would probably just skip out on that group. Patrick Rogers, Seamus Power, Bryce Garnett, no thank you to any of them. And then our last cluster of guys as we go down to the kind of 200-1 range of this group. I mean, I like Chris Ventura at 150-1. Jackson Suber has been playing very well of late. Had a very good Barracuda Championship, 150-1, I think is worth a little bit of a gamble here. Taylor Montgomery at 200-1, got in on his number, I think is worth a little bit of a gamble here. He's got to keep it in play. He is not the straightest driver of the golf ball. That's your big hang up with him. He can find himself in a lot of trouble. Short game is amazing. Off the tee, not so compelling. Stephen Fisk, kind of interesting at 200-1. If you want to go take like a hometown guy shot, Frankie Sapp in the third, I don't even know his number. It's probably 400 or 500-1. Maybe on a top 20 bet. It's a hometown thing for him. He has not had a good year. I thought he would be a guy that came off the Korn Ferry Tour and did stuff right away, him and Carl Phillips. And Carl Phillips won. I mean, he hasn't done much else, but he did win once this year at the Puerto Rico Open. Frankie's kind of starting to make cuts, but he's really struggled with the grind, I think, of the PGA Tour this year in a way I did not anticipate. Now he gets to come home, place he's played a bunch. Maybe it's helpful for him as a top 20 finish. Maybe his only top 20 finish. I mean, he's practically destined to go back to the Korn Ferry Tour in his current trajectory, but he has the fall to figure it out as well. I wanted to kind of get into the scorecard a little bit just so you could kind of take a look at it this week. This is a par 71 golf course. A lot of the holes are scoreable here. I mean, you can gather that, right? That's not particularly surprising. The way it distributes the length, particularly on the par fives, I think is worth noting. A lot of the par fives are over 600 yards. So you're going to have guys that can't get to the green because they either have to lay up off the tee to avoid water, or they have to lay up because they missed, or they're just not going for it. The length of those third shots tend to be a little bit longer. But these guys are also incredible players, right? They're hitting wedges into these greens on routine occasion, no matter the hole. And they're really good at it. So even if you force them into a third shot with a wedge instead of an attempted chip, pitch, or putt for eagle, you're still probably going to get it pretty close, and they're still pretty much going to score well. Again, this golf course comes down to what can you do off the tee. Horses for courses, we talked about them a little bit earlier. Tony Finau is the best one by far in terms of average finish, frequency in the top 15. Keeps coming back here for a reason. Emiliano Grillo is next. Keith Mitchell, Cameron Champs up there. He's backed up a win with a couple of good finishes over the years in this tournament. Course fits. This course demands about one-third of your strokes gained if you finish in the top 25 come from putting, and everything else is tee to green. These are the players that fit that perfectly, and there are a lot of guys that we talked about. Jake Knapp, Heath Mitchell, Sahith Theegala. Again, do you worry about the injury, where he is with that? I think that's worth a worthwhile concern. Adam Hadwin, Akshay Bhatia, Bo Hostler, Emiliano Grillo, the same guys we've talked about, a lot of them so far in this show. So there is a little bit of validation to that. Hot hands, guys who have multiple top 15 finishes in the last I guess would be six or seven because we have two oppos. PGA Tour events played, but five for them, five available to them. Patrick Fishburne, Max Gracerman, Rico Hoey have been doing pretty well in the alt world, the universe of players who are playing oppo events. Bo Hostler is an oppo guy. Kevin Roy's been playing great and steady. Jackson Suber's been playing well in this stretch, and so has Michael Thorbjørnsen. Nobody in this group is a top 50 player. And, I mean, Gracerman could be on the edge of that. But think about that. The guys that are playing well lately, they're beating up on weaker fields. Would we have a weaker field? Probably a little more comfortable than if this field had 25 top 50 players. We'd be having a different conversation. Past champions here. Going back to 2019 in backwards order, Johnny Vegas won here in shocking fashion. Lee Hodges was a shock runaway win. Tony Finau, Cam Champ weren't surprises. Michael Thompson won in a really interesting kind of finale. A pit of longer players versus shorter players. Shorter-ish player won. Matthew Wolf won here when he pipped Bryson DeChambeau in 2019. And obviously, look at me these days. Playing on live, relatively anonymous, dealing with injuries. Unfortunate, but that's not the point. The point is that there's an interesting mix here of guys who are longer, guys who are veterans, guys who have won in a while, guys who have won a couple of times. It doesn't necessarily favor you. You've got to get off the tee, though. You cannot be taking penalty strokes in the water this week. This graphic is a whole lot different. My favorite graphic, but it's different this week than last for sure. Last week when we talked about the Open and we talked about a short-term form where we talked about strokes gained total, quality strokes gained, strokes gained approach. We couldn't even have half the guys that qualified on the graphics. It turned out that the guy that was number one in all of them won. That was Scottie Scheffler. This week, it's a little bit different. So we have a much shorter group of guys for a couple of different reasons. Typically, we're looking at strokes gained total. Are you gaining 1.2 strokes per average or more per round on the last 10 PGA Tour events played in which you played? Quality strokes gained, 1.5 strokes or more. That's a measure of strokes gained in the aggregate times the quality of your competition, as measured by the official world golf ranking. That list is shorter because this is a weaker event. And as we mentioned, a lot of the hot hands are guys that played in oppo events. They have lower values of official world golf ranking points, which diminishes the value of their strokes gained as a result of quality strokes gained. We have a little bit of a longer list in strokes gained approach. Some guys are just hitting the ball well on the approach, but they're not necessarily doing it with the putter. And to that end, I think this has a little bit of a less value this week because strokes gained off the tee is really important in a unique way here this week. So we'll go over the whole list. So guys on the strokes gained total list, Thorbjørnsen, Goderup, Putnam, Thurston Lawrence, Jake Knapp, Taylor Montgomery, Emiliano Grillo, Cam Champ, Vince Whaley, Kevin Roy, and Nick Hardy. Nick Hardy's an interesting one. Quality strokes gained, a number of these guys drop off the list and you leave, again, in descending order. Goderup, Tristan Lawrence, Sam Burns, Adam Scott. Sam Burns, obviously, and Adam Scott have obviously been playing better competition, but aren't necessarily gaining the strokes on the field that you would see from the other players. That elevates them. Michael Thorbjørnsen, Taylor Pendrith, again, playing better competition. Matt McNeely, better competition. Emiliano Grillo, playing weak competition, just doing well. Strokes gained approach, 0.6 strokes per round of the average. These are the guys you want to think about that maybe if they don't fit the other list, you might like for another reason. Tagala, Batia, Doug Gim, Kevin Roy. Kevin Roy showed up on two lists. Victor Perez, Ben Coles, Brant Snedeker, Lee Hodges, Kitayama, John Pack. That's interesting. Tom Hoagie and Adam Scott. So Adam Scott's on two lists. Might be worth a bet just looking at that. And I was thinking even before we went through this graphic that I wasn't going to bet him. I might be interested in that. Strokes gained, tee to green leaders with low variance. So I like this graphic, kind of give you guys the smooth curve people, the players that are playing well and they're doing it consistently, right? We don't want peaks and valleys. We want little mild hills in a graph of this. And those guys are Siwoo Kim, Doug Gim, Lee Hodges, interestingly enough. I also think kind of has a thing for water courses. Kevin Roy, Kevin Yu, and Davis Thompson. So Kevin Roy keeps coming up again and again. I think he's a very worthwhile play here this week, probably on an each way bet. This one is one of my other favorite graphics, and the difference between this week and last is very stark, especially the way I presented the graphic here. But top 20 percentage leaders in the last 50 PGA Tour events played. In those that you played, of those 50, Did you finish in the top 20, 40% of the time or greater? There are four players who meet that criteria. Matt McNeely from the bottom, exactly 40%. Kevin Roy at like 41%, which I thought was interesting. Adam Scott and Sam Burns. Of the kind of Korn Ferry Tour graduates, Kevin Roy might be your winner, man. Like, he's had himself a really good, consistent year. I'm going to bet him. So I don't have anything about first-round leader stuff. I don't like first-round leader for this tournament for a variety of reasons, primarily being that the water stuff is just too much into play. I think too many things can happen there. It's not worth it for me to go into that market. But you may find yourself compelled to do otherwise. That's going to do it for us on the show today. Really appreciate you watching or listening as a podcast if you do after the fact. Catch us wherever you download your podcast. You can watch this show live when we stream it, which is available on our Golf News Net Facebook page or my personal pages on Kick, Twitch, and on X/Twitter. So I'm available on YouTube, the Golf News Net channel on YouTube. Golf News Net radio channel on YouTube has all of our podcasts that we own and operate as audio versions only. So if you want to just catch it on the go and that's how you consume them, have at it. You can watch the show on Golf News Net TV. It's available for our Roku and Android apps as well as on Zeem, Free Life Sports, and Freecast, coming soon to Distro TV and some other platforms as well. Thank you again for your time, for spending some time with me. Good luck with all your bets this week, and we will see you next week here on The Press.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.